Psalm 98. These are the words of God. A psalm. Sing to Yahweh a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him the victory. Yahweh has made known his salvation. His righteousness he has revealed in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout joyfully to Yahweh, all the earth. Break forth in song, rejoice, and sing praises. Sing to Yahweh with the harp and the sound of a psalm, with trumpets and the sound of a horn. Shout joyfully before Yahweh the King. Let the sea roar and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before Yahweh. For he is coming to judge the earth. With righteousness he shall judge the world and all the people and the peoples with equity. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Closely related to Psalm 96, this psalm also begins, sing to Yahweh a new song. And just as we saw there, it's a new song for a new event. God has given us in advance songs that belong to things he hasn't done yet, such as releasing the creation from its being bound to corruption and decay in order that it may enjoy the glorious freedom of the children of God. Something that we're coming soon to hear in the preaching in Romans, that the creation now, as beautiful as it continues to be, is just a shadow, a reverberation of what it was before the earth was cursed for our sakes, for our sin. And it has been bound in corruption and decay ever since. And so the whole creation groans, eager for this day that Psalm 98 is written about. And so a new song is prepared. And we get to already rejoice in the joy that belongs to that day that is coming. And as we rejoice, we are, as it were, having dress rehearsals. So we already have the joy, but we're also preparing for the greater joy that is to come. And so there is the new song. It's a new song about marvelous doings, but not just marvelous doings, but a marvelous God. It says, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him the victory. But then we learn that God's doing marvelous things aren't just actions, they're revelations. He does marvelous things because he is a marvelous God. And one of the reasons then that he does these marvelous things is to declare to us, to show us, display for our worshiping him and praising him, for our enjoying that this is our God, to display to us that he is a marvelous God. So they're not just actions, they're revelations. Yahweh has made known his salvation. His righteousness he has revealed in the sight of the nations. He has remembered, or in this case, caused to be remembered, his steadfast love and faithfulness, his chesed and emet, to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation. And so you have made known, revealed, caused to be remembered, caused to be seen. When God acts, he is revealing what he is like. Now, this is important for us to see because there's somebody else. Well, it's not really somebody else. There's another instance in which we're going to see somebody coming and doing this. And after we finish the book of Acts, we're going to move on to the book of Mark. Now, the book of Mark has the least amount of teaching sections, or sections of Jesus' teaching, or comments, theological comments about Jesus, of all the four Gospels. It's full of action. But it's full of action as revelation. God reveals who he is by doing what he does. And so this new song is a song about marvelous works, because in doing these marvelous works and the great last marvelous work, when God comes, and it's Jesus who is God, of course, Jesus, when he says, all judgment is given into my hands, he says, you know those songs you sang to Yahweh about his judging, like Psalm 98? Psalm 98 is about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is Yahweh who is coming to judge. And he came first to save, and only then to judge. And so this is one of the great marvelous works, when Jesus appears in the sky, when all of his enemies are defeated and terrified and dismayed, and all his servants who have trusted in him are delivered and rejoice and are glad to receive him and be received by him and to see his judgment, to see his justice. So covenantal redemption, then, with a cosmos-wide celebration. The earth was cursed for our sakes. And for those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the earth will be released for their sakes. The whole creation groans, eager to participate, to be released into the glorious freedom of the children of God, who will be revealed in the last day. And so it groans for the revealing of the sons of God, which is what we are going to hear in Romans. And we see that here. You have the covenantal worship. We know it's covenantal worship. How do we know? Because we've got the priestly instruments. Psalm Yahweh, the verb command at the beginning of verse 5 is not the same verb where we have sing in verse 1. It is actually a verbal form of the word for psalm, which is one of the reasons why old metrical translations used that translation there. Psalm Yahweh with harp and psaltery, which was an instrument that was designed for accompanying psalm singing. In fact, the instrument also comes from the same root as the word for psalm. So with harp and psaltery and trumpets and horn, all of these priestly instruments that designate that this is a covenantal assembly in which the gathered people of God are singing the praises that he has written for them. And it is rejoicing and shouting. In fact, it's so loud that the bookends of the covenantal assembly in verse 4 and the end of verse 6 are shout joyfully. And the command break forth is actually to burst out, burst through, so that the song that God has written in his word, what does he promise to do with his word? He writes it on our hearts. And his word so fills our heart. He's written songs in his word, and the songs start to fill our hearts, and then they burst out of our mouths. That's what he's describing here. The word of God about the marvelous works of the marvelous God dwelling richly in us and bursting forth from us, and we shouting joyfully. And who else joins in? Well, that creation that has been eagerly waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. Suddenly, the sea is roaring, and all who dwell in it are, and the world, sorry, the sea is roaring in all its fullness. The world also roars, and all who dwell in it roar. The whole cosmos now roaring with praise for the returned king, the great judge, rejoicing to be liberated. Very different than the response of the wicked, who are dismayed and wish that the mountains would cover them. You know why the mountains aren't covering them? Well, one reason is the mountains are too busy roaring with praise for the one who just appeared in the sky. And the rivers now, instead of just rushing, the sound that they're making actually turns out to be a clapping. The hills are joyful together before Yahweh. So it is covenantal redemption with cosmos-wide celebration. We've already covered noisy, joyous worship. And of course, the great occasion for the worship is the return of the King, who judges in righteousness. We're already part of the new creation. Believers, he who is in Christ, whenever someone is in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5 says, new creation. That's the only part of the new creation that exists so far, is the believer. And so the believer sings the new creation song, the last judgment song, already, as the only representative that of the new creation that has arrived so far. As those redeemed by his blood and righteous before God in Christ, we know that his judgment is not a condemnation for us. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who will condemn us? Christ Jesus, who died and rose again for us and is interceding for us? So when Jesus returns for the great judgment, and we are already now righteous in him, and what will we be like then when his intercession for us has carried the day and we are made glorious like he is, and we appear with him glorious in the sky, and his bride is presented to him, and his queen takes seat with him, and the scripture says, don't you know that we are going to judge men and angels? The great occasion of worship is this completion, this consummation of all things. When Christ is glorified as God the Son, when Christ is glorified as the successful Redeemer, when Christ, not just now glorious God and glorious man, when he is glorified even in his glorious bride, whom he has perfected, and seats with him on the throne, and then proceeds to judge. He judges the earth. With righteousness he judges the world. With equity he judges the people. The judgment for the believer is not a day of which to be afraid. It's a day for which we are to long with great joy. And in order to help us in our partially sanctified state, to long for the day, with joy for the day. God gives us the song for the day already, 1,000 years before the Lord Jesus came. May he make it to fill our hearts and fill our mouths. May his spirit fill us with the joy that anticipates this day. Let's pray. Lord, on that day, we know that everything else that seemed big and seemed long will turn out to have been rather short and rather small. But Lord, we need your help. We need your spirit to communicate to us the eternal weight of the glory that is to be revealed in us, so that our afflictions may be light and momentary by comparison. And we thank you that you have given us a song that belongs to that eternal and weighty glory. And we pray that you would write the truth of the song on our hearts, give our hearts and mouths to sing it in a way that you use to make this word dwell richly in us, so that we may look forward with joy and certainty to the day on which Christ returns. Lord, we thank you for his righteousness and his sacrifice, without which for us it would be a day of unimaginable, unmitigated horror, but by which you have transformed it into a day of unimaginable, unmitigated joy. And so give us to cling to Christ and to have that joy that is in him. For we ask it in his name. Amen.